Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, this is Chris Roby, back at you with episode 124. I'm really doing great here.
Okay.
With my co-host Carly Duke. We're going to push through this. We're not going to push stop. We're going to push through it.
I love it.
Well, I went into it really confidently, and life likes to humble you, but we are really glad to be back with you guys this week with our next episode. Carly, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Chris. I'm ready to be back.
Good. Yeah, we're starting great here. It's going to be awesome. So last week, we started our fall season by talking through how, as parents, we can be the best support for our teenagers through school staff. And so a lot of times, we have a one-sided relationship with schools, and we don't always support our school staff the best way we can. And so last week was really about that, about making sure that we as parents and how we encourage our teenagers to give the school staff a benefit of the doubt, and also to get to know them and find ways we can support them. And today we want to do kind of flip it and talk more about how our teachers and counselors, we have a lot of teachers and counselors and school staff who do listen to this podcast, and how can they be the most supportive of the students and the families that they serve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it is so important that that teachers don't just focus on what they're doing in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds weird because that is an important piece of it, but we've learned that connection makes a huge difference in motivation and attendance. And we see that when teen life groups come on campus, we think that it's worth it. And teachers, it's worth your time to invest in students outside of just what you teach during your class period. And so just mentioning some things, why it matters, they do better. I'll post this stat as well. Because I think there's like some science between it. So I'll post my source of why this matters. But the article that I found said that students tend to do better in classes where they have a positive relationship with the teacher. Mm-hmm. The students who have positive interactions with teachers have fewer behavioral problems. And then when you authentically praise a student or have a positive interaction, the student's brain actually releases dopamine, which leads to more motivation, and it can kind of start this cycle of getting them in a really good rhythm in school. And then when students feel psychologically safe, they're more likely to participate in class discussions, ask questions, try to do an assignment even when it's difficult, or to talk in a tone of voice that's appropriate for the situation. And so, like I said, I mean, making sure that your classroom is a safe space, making sure that you're having positive interactions, that you're encouraging them, that you have a relationship with them, that is going to impact your classroom, even though you're not doing those things, maybe even in the classroom, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I'll reference this quite a bit this season, and this is not necessarily new, but I do have a middle schooler now, and I hear stories that come in, and I feel like for whatever reason, middle school, that really comes out of the teachers that seem to maybe not work as hard to connect with the students as others that do, and to hear him talk about it and hear him talk about the frustrations that he has. And I'll share a story here in just a second that I thought was a teacher who really made extra efforts to connect with the students in a situation where they could have not. I know being a dad of a middle schooler right now, this is so important to know that there are teachers who are trying to connect with students outside of just doing their job. And that sounds really, really reductionist, but you know, in most jobs, you know, someone who's just doing their job, just trying to get through it. But, you know, with teachers and counselors, you know, the ones who are really trying to make that special connection, help their students love to learn, and really tell that they are trying to connect with their parents. And as we said last week, trying to all be on the same team for the sake of the student. And, you know, that takes both sides. That takes parents being bought in, but it also takes teachers being bought in too, as hard as their jobs are, to make sure that those students know that they are safe, like you said, psychologically, so they can be more successful in the classroom.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to hit on some ways that teachers and school staff, so this could be principals, counselors, coaches, anyone who works with students, how they can connect. And so I wanted to give some ideas. And the first one is show up to what matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
So show up to the sporting events, show up to the concerts, go to the plays and the award ceremonies. If your student, even if it's not school related, maybe they do karate or dance outside of school. I mean, find out if there's a way that you can come watch them and support them and show that you're showing up. But I also think going makes a difference. But even if you can't go, ask about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a football player in your classroom, when they show up Monday morning, ask them about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or be like, hey, I checked the score. I saw y'all had a big win. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really easy way to show. An example I have for this, when I was in high school, I had a science teacher. I did not love science, I'll be honest, but I had a science teacher and he was grumpy, like super grumpy in class. And you just kind of knew that about him and he was kind of quirky, but he showed up to every sporting event. He took pictures. He had a really nice camera. He took pictures at all of our sporting events and then he would post the pictures on the wall of his classroom. And so he showed like, hey, I care about you. And all, if you brought him a quarter, he would give you the picture from his wall just to kind of help him with printing out all the pictures. But his classroom was filled with every age, every single sport of he showed up. And so even though he was grumpy, everyone loved his class and loved, I mean, not everyone loved him, but you kind of gave grace because you had a relationship with, you know, like, hey, he cares and he's coming to support me. And it can make a really big difference.
I think the story in that teacher could be that they're grumpy. But that's not the end of the story with that teacher, you know, and I think that's a really powerful testament to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, I also think this is a very big teen life thing, but do a check-in with your students.
Mm-hmm.
And we love Fist to Five. If you're new here and haven't heard of Fist to Five, welcome. We're glad you're here. Mm-hmm. But that's an easy way to go like, hey, at the beginning of your class, go, hey, I want to check on everyone. How was everyone's weekend on a scale of Fist to Five? So Fist being worst weekend ever, hated it. Five being it was the best weekend, and have everyone hold up fingers. If you have time to talk about it, that's great. Or maybe you don't even have time to talk about it, but you know, at the end of the class period, there was a student in the back row who held up a one, and I'm going to ask him about that.
Right.
Or there was a student that held up a five, and they've been holding up ones or twos. I'm going to ask about that because I know that something happened that put them in a better mood. And it just kind of gives you a starting point and a way to know who to check on. I also think following up on stuff outside of class, I guess I kind of already talked about this, but it can be the games, it could be stuff like that. But if you know that they have a job, ask how their job is going.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that one of their family members was sick or they're dealing with something personally, ask them about it and make sure that like you remember those things. I had a college professor that did that. Like I would mention something so offhandedly and the next time I showed up, he would ask me about it. And it was just really cool to be like, man, he cares enough that he listened and he remembered. And so that remembering part is big.
And I would think this would be especially important for teachers that are having students miss a lot of class or absent a lot. Because, we know every job that we have has outcomes and expectations. And one of the hard parts about being a teacher is that if your students are struggling with their grades, that reflects on you, right? That reflects on your reviews. That reflects on, you know, you want your students to have good grades, to be successful on tests, all that kind of stuff, right? And so, you know, we all know if a student is missing class or absent a lot, their likelihood of getting good test scores and being successful is a lot lower. And so it'd be really easy to be frustrated with that student and say, why aren't you in class? You're missing again, you know, and send them to detention, all that kind of stuff. But also it could be just as easy to ask, you know, what's happening, you know, what's going on, where we're missing so much, what can I do to help? How can I get you here? What agreement can we make sure that you're in my class this week? Cause I want you here. And so, you know, being able to pursue those outcomes that are going to, you know, get you a good result as a teacher, but also to have empathy for the kid who might be missing. Because a lot of times in our experience with students, if a kid's missing school, there's a reason. Sometimes it is laziness or not, you know, maybe they're doing things that are going to keep them out. But a lot of times there is a reason that's at least something that can be talked about or remedied. And so I think a student knowing that a teacher knows that, hey, I'm missing you and I need you here, is really, really powerful.
Yeah, I love that. And asking or saying that in a way that's not lecturing or getting mad at them, but being like, hey, I care. It's coming from a place of that, which kind of takes me to the next one, which is modeling social skills. So turn-taking, cooperation, empathy, whether you just show those or if you talk about them of like, hey, I'm feeling really frustrated today. And so let's take a break or let's, I don't know, do some, watch a YouTube video before we get started because I'm feeling this way. Modeling that, because especially depending on where you're teaching, you probably have students in your class who do not have those skills modeled in a healthy way ever. And especially not at home. And so look for ways that you can kind of show them instead of being frustrated that they're not showing that, be like, hey, I can help teach them this. I can help walk them through this, even if it doesn't deal with your subject.
So I've got to share a story that I feel like goes right in to this with something my son, my middle school told me that happened this week at school. And I thought this teacher handled this masterfully. So he is in orchestra and the teacher thought it would be a great idea to, she bought this fabric, like fabric pens, and they were going to make like a big banner that everyone was going to sign and put up on the wall. They're in a brand new school, and it's just kind of a rallying cry that we're going to be, you know, this is our orchestra for the year, and have everyone's signatures on it. Well, one of the students in one of the classes took it upon themselves to draw a very inappropriate object that was very obvious on the thing. And my son said he said she was really mad about it because she had bought all this stuff. But apparently she like slowed down and thought about it. And this is him telling me this. Mm. And instead of like, you know, blown up and get everyone consequence, she cut out that inappropriate thing that was drawn. And they cut up the fabric into small strips and made themselves bracelets that they put. They got those letters and that she said, choose a word for the year that you want to be your theme for the year. And we're going to put beads on that strip of fabric and tie it onto your wrist. And so he has now, instead of a big banner in the band hall or the orchestra room, a bracelet made of that fabric that says commit on it. And he chose that word. And I was like, that teacher is pretty brilliant of taking a situation like that where some kid thought he was being funny and could have derailed all of it. And she could have just made it all about her, but changed it into something that like that. He's going to have that on his wrist the rest of the year now. And he remembers that whole story about how she made something that, you know, and like I said, she did not hide the fact that it really upset her because she had spent all this money and thought this was going to be really thoughtful and someone made a big joke out of it. You know, I thought that that was a really great example of how a teacher can turn something like that and make it something that the students are always going to remember.
I love that. I really do. Couple more things is looking for ways to praise or compliment. And so, especially when it comes to students and maybe students who are struggling, make sure you're praising the effort rather than the outcome. So maybe they didn't get an A on that test, but hey, I can tell that you studied this time and you have never studied for a test before. I'm really proud of you. Right. Or looking for ways to compliment the way that they're acting and the way that they're helping friends and just kind of showing them like, hey, I'm glad that you're here. Once again, when you come into my class, I'm looking for those good things. And when you look for good things, you often find good things because that's the lens that you're looking at them through. And then finally, create a good environment in your classroom. And one of the ways to do that is create an environment where laughter is welcome. Like make it a fun place, a safe place. Encourage them to ask questions. Encourage students to make mistakes and to engage with you and not just shut them down if they ask a question, but be like, hey, let's talk about that. And so just making sure that your classroom is a fun place to be can also make a really big difference. For the trend this week, Chris, I think you're going to have lots of thoughts on this. I just know this is right up your alley. Which is spicy books. Now, we did an episode on book talk last year, I believe.
Talk, not talk.
Talk.
Like,
yeah.
T-O-K.
So like the tick, that's like the TikTok side that talks about books. It's called Book Talk.
Gotcha.
They also have Bookstagram. Same thing for Instagram. If you want to go on and you can just find all kinds of these like book influencers who post stuff.
Book influencers.
Yes. But a popular topic on Book Talk or Bookstagram are spicy or smutty is another word that might be used, books. So these mm-hmm. are books that have sexual content and they are especially popular with girls. But honestly, lots of guys also read them. I'm on Book Talk, not necessarily always the spicy side, but that just comes in and I'm getting more and more guys who are talking about it too. Hmm. The hard thing about books, and I believe we talked about this in another episode, but there is no official rating system. There is no, this is rated PG-13, this book is rated R. And so you could start a book that looks innocent and you come across really graphic sex scenes or inappropriate language or trigger warnings, like things that deal with mental health or other just things that you probably do not want your teenager reading, especially if you don't know and you're not able to have conversations about it.
Right.
Some examples of this, like sometimes you might read the first book and it's totally fine. I recently did this with the series. I really liked the first book. By the time I got into the second and third, I was skipping huge portions of the book because it was so gross. And so graphic. And I think in the middle of one, I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not doing mm-hmm. this anymore. But what's hard about that is if you have a teenager who gets really invested in these characters, and then a few books down the road in a series, it turns graphic, what are the chances that they're actually going to set that book down?
Right.
And that they're going to stop reading it? Probably not. A series that's really popular that kind of does this is called A Court of Thorns and Roses. And the first three books are fine. And by the time she gets to the fourth book, it is a lot. And recently, I saw a teenager posted a senior picture. And in it, she is holding this book that I know from Book Talk and from research and all this stuff is a very inappropriate book. Hmm. And it's in her senior picture. And I saw that. And I was talking to my husband about that. And I was like, there's just no chance her parents have any idea what right. she's reading. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way that they would let her take a picture with that if they knew. And so I'm not trying to scare you, but if you have a reader in your house, I just wanted to bring these things up because I want you to be aware. And so if you Google, if you search on TikTok or Instagram for spicy books, you're going to see lots of recommendations. And honestly, a lot of them are even marketed towards younger audiences. They're coming after your girls and they're wanting them to read it. And then another thing to keep in mind with apps like the Libby app, which is where you can rent ebooks from the library for free, or maybe something like Kindle Unlimited, where you just pay a monthly fee, your students aren't even having to like spend money on each book. So you might not know what they're reading. Hmm. Like, it's not like they're having to spend hundreds of dollars and they're getting these books. They could just go to the library and find them.
Right. Right.
I want to bring these things up so you can have conversation with your girls. So some things that we can do that I want to bring up, talk to them about what they're reading, ask questions, maybe read it with them. If you like to read, be like, hey, what are you reading? Let's read it together. And then at least you know, and you're able to have conversations about what they're reading. And then also do research on your own and encourage them to do research on their own before they pick up a book. And so, especially if they are reading a book that's recommended to them from a stranger or from an influencer on Instagram or TikTok, mm-hmm. be like, hey, let's look into that before we just pick up a book and read it
right.
and get started. Some things to keep in mind, like a lot of reviewers on those apps will post spice ratings. So they'll kind of give these little chili pepper emojis. So if you see chili pepper emojis in relation to books, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the spice okay. level out of 5 usually. And so you can kind of rate of how much sexual content is there. Goodreads is an app that does book reviews. And a lot of times you can read through those reviews and people will talk about how much smut is in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon often gives an age range in their description for books too. So you can kind of gauge if is this appropriate for my student. And then encourage them and help them find appropriate books. Instead of waiting for them to do it, help them find books in a genre that they're interested in that are also appropriate. Mm-hmm. So Common Sense Media, you can filter this by age and by content limits, and it will give you recommendations, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So you can kind of say how much of different subjects you want, and it'll filter it out. YA books, so that's young adult books, tend to be safer, but you still need to check, because I saw something in the Libby app the other day that was a book that wasn't awful, but I wouldn't necessarily want a teenager reading, and it was a recommendation for teenagers.
Hmm.
And then some just other quick words, some teen terms, some book teen terms, if you will, Chris.
All right.
Words like sweet romance or closed door imply that there aren't explicit sex scenes in the book. So those are maybe some words to be looking for. If they talk about closed door romance, that means that it will kind of fade to black. It's not going to describe anything in graphic detail.
I'm trying to figure out what that meant. Okay.
Yes, closed door is what that means. So it means that like they might kiss and then it'll kind of like fade off and then it'll pick back up later if there is anything happening in the book. And sweet romances typically involve like things like kissing. There might still be an appropriate language, but it won't be sexual in nature usually.
Gotcha.
And so reading is great. I love to read. But as an adult, these are some things that I've had to deal with. And I know your teenagers, if they're reading a lot, are probably also getting pushed very similar things. Okay, finally, Chris, for the tip, I saw this. I can't remember where I saw it. I'll be honest. I wish I could tag the person, but I can't remember. But they brought up the idea that you should have a safe word with... This was specifically in like a parent relationship, like with the other parent, if maybe one parent is being too hard on a child, or if you're dealing with a situation and you're just feeling very triggered by it and you're like, I need to tap out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a safe word that you would say. So maybe that parent says a safe word to you of like, hey, go take a break. Or maybe you say a safe word to the other parent going, I need a break.
Right. Right. Well, because we all have our triggers and, you know, if things are getting to a point where, you know, you're not going to be helpful for a bit until you cool off. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah. And I just think that's maybe could save your relationship with your student. It could save you from saying something you regret. And there's nothing wrong with taking a break, but maybe it's easier to use a safe word than just like throwing your hands up and being like, I can't deal with this child anymore. Someone take them from me. But maybe if you have, and maybe it's a look or a hand sign that you just give, and there's just like, okay, I'm going to take over from here. You go take a break. Why don't you go deal with the other kids? Or why don't you take a walk? Something like that. But
well, it helps you be in agreement as a family as well. Mm-hmm. That, you know, when one or the other is getting to a point where they're not able to handle it in a cool, calm, collected, even helpful fashion. Sure. This could be super helpful for any set of parents.
Right. I also do want to mention that this could be used in a school setting. So, and maybe it's I have a teacher friend that I text when I'm like, hey, I need someone to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Or especially if you have teenagers, you could tell them, hey, this is my safe word. When I use it, I'm going to need 30 seconds of silence, and I mean it, to regulate myself.
Hmm.
And then we can pick back up of like, hey, I really need time. And I don't think it's bad to tell teenagers, hey, I'm very frustrated. Can we take time? Like, I need a reset, or right. I'm going to say something I regret. And so I think it can also be used in that setting as well if you're not using it with another parent.
This is great stuff. And with that, we're going to call this a wrap for this episode of the Teen Life Podcast. If this was something that you enjoyed, we'd love for you to subscribe, because this allows our podcast to come into your feed every Tuesday. So we release every single week. This is a chance for you to stay up to date. Follow us on all of our social media channels, and that is in the link in the show notes, where you can hear not only more about the podcast, but more about what we are doing here at Teen Life.
Mm-hmm.
Text this episode to a friend. If this is something that is helpful for you, if there's a teacher or a school staff that could really benefit from this, text this to them. Review us in your favorite podcast app and give us 5 stars so other people can find this great podcast. And with that, we will see you next week.